The United Nations Security Council has met to discuss the deteriorating situation in Syria after Turkey bombarded Kurdish targets in the country for the second day in a row. Tens of thousands of people are fleeing Syria's north, and there are reports of civilian casualties. Despite growing criticism from world leaders, Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has defended the operation.
Barış Pınarı Harekatı.
After we make the Peace Spring operation area a safe zone, we will ensure the return of everyone who lived there to their own homes and cities. That is the goal. We will make sure that the demographic structure, which the separatist organization tried to disrupt, will be restored to what it was before the civil war.
That's the Turkish president speaking there. Kurds in Australia have been watching the developments with growing alarm. Aziz Bauermand is the president of the Kurdish Lobby Australia. Welcome to RN Breakfast, Mr.
Thank Bauermand. Thank you, Geraldine.
You're in touch with Kurds in the northeast of Syria, I understand, who are fleeing this Turkish intervention. What is the latest you're hearing from this group?
Well, the latest one is they feel like being terrorized. They feel betrayed by Donald Trump. And life is very, very difficult. Psychologically, it's very difficult. They find it extremely hard to plan anything. They don't know when bombs will fall. They don't know when Turkish troops will show up. They are aware that Turkey has NATO's second largest army. It's got American jet fighters. It's got German tanks. And it's got French artillery and other heavy weapons. So the feeling is that of just being terrorized.
That reference that the Turkish president made there to the Kurds seeking to change the demographic situation there, what was all that about?
Well, that is really nonsense, Geraldine. It is Turkey's president who wants to change the demographics there to replace the Kurdish residents, take their properties and give it to Arab refugees who do not originate from that area. The main purpose of this operation is to change the demographics through ethnic cleansing. That is to drive away the Kurdish residents and replace them with the Arab refugees who are now in Turkey.
And simply, you have relatives up there, do you not?
Yes, I do. Yes, on both sides of the border.
On both sides of the border. And how long have they lived there?
Since time immemorial for generations.
That's their home. Did you come, because you came here, you came here as a child, didn't you?
No. I came here in my 20s.
In your 20s,
in 1974, in fact, it was. Yes, I came here, yes.
So, I mean, as many as 35 million Kurds live between Turkey, Syria, Iraq, Iran and Armenia. How have Syrian Kurds, as opposed to the Iraqi Kurds, which I think Australians might know quite a lot more about, how have they been faring during the Syrian civil war?
Okay, first, Geraldine, let me just clarify something, that Kurds have been living on their ancestral homeland called Kurdistan since time immemorial. Kurdistan simply means land of the Kurds. After World War I, the country Kurdistan was divided and parts were annexed to the neighboring countries that you mentioned. So they are living on their own land, not in anybody else's land. That's the point I'm trying to make.
But they don't have this nation-state sovereignty.
They do not. That is correct. They were promised. They were promised by the Treaty of Sèvres in 1920, but that treaty was discarded and replaced by Treaty of Lausanne in 1923, and they lost total and complete status and thereby their rights. Now, the Kurds of Syria, relatively speaking, the government has been benign to them. But from time to time, the repression would increase. But like other countries, the Syrian government also changed the names of towns. For example, what we hear today, Tel Abyad, in fact, is the Kurdish name is Güresipi, which means White Hill. The town we hear, Ras Al Ain, in Arabic, in fact, in Kurdish, it is Serekanye. So they changed the names in an effort to Arabize. Just like Turkey wanted to Turkify, in Syria there is this Ba'ath nationalism and they wanted to Arabize people. They moved a lot of people from that area, we just don't know how many exactly, but the Kurds are still in the majority, overwhelming majority. 80%, upwards of 80% in most of those towns.
Now, in Iraq, of course, they're Christian. Is that the case in Syria?
Yes, indeed. There are Christian Kurds, there are Yazidi Kurds, there were Jewish Kurds, but unfortunately they were compelled to leave the country many, many years ago. So, yes, okay. The Kurds are predominantly Muslim, but not all of them are Muslim.
Now, of course, the Turks see it differently. Earlier this week on the program, we spoke to Harun Amagan, a member of Turkey's ruling AK Party. He describes these very people you are, more or less, as terrorists. Let's listen.
PYD and YPG, like with ISIS, are two terrorist organizations that are actually threatening our national security. And this is not only our national security, but it's also security of NATO borders. The PYD, the terrorist organization, they are the ones that actually make the Kurds suffer most by kidnapping their sons, daughters, and make them fight at the age of 7, 8, and 9.
Now, and Australians get, I think, so incredibly confused with all these acronyms. But is there any truth that some of these people you're describing, out of desperation, may have turned to forms of terrorism and to unlawful behaviour such as he's describing?
Absolutely not. They are the Turkish government, the present Turkish government, is very, very good at Orwellian terminology. They changed the terms around like George Orwell couldn't do as well. So to them, a Kurdish terrorist is a Kurd who wants freedom, democracy, and equality. To them, that is a terrorist Kurd or a terrorist sympathizer. Mm. As I mentioned, the objectives of this operation is the first one is the demographic change. The second one is to eliminate this grassroots democratic movement, the equality of women. Every council in northern Syria under Kurdish control have two chairs. One man, one woman. Genuine gender equality. Genuine concern and protection of the environment. And they see that as something of being heretic. So because it is common, the terrorism is like a bandwagon, you can jump on it. Like in the Middle Ages, if you declared a woman a witch, well, then you had a right to burn her alive. So once they declare them terrorists, they, in their mind at least, they are justified to just go ahead and kill them.
Well, of course, they would say that the Kurdish groups in Syria are linked to the PKK, that's the Kurdistan People's Workers' Party, inside Turkey, which Australia does label as a terror organisation. Do you say that there are no links between the groups?
Well, it depends on what you mean by links. I mean, they could be cousins. They could be nieces and nephews. They could be uncles and aunties. Mm. You know, we think of as two countries as sort of distinct. The border, I don't call it Turkish-Syrian border. I call it Kurdish-Kurdish border.
But see, this is the trouble, isn't it?
It is.
You're fatally weakened because you don't have the nation state status.
Absolutely. That is right. And the Turkish government is doing all it can to make sure that Kurds do not have any political status, not even the status enjoyed by 200,000 or so Turks on Cyprus Island.
So, Kurdish fighters are now guarding around 11,000 IS-aligned fighters and supporters, including Australians. Do you expect that Kurdish forces, and these are the ones who are fighting, will be able to keep holding those fighters and resist these Turkish attacks?
No, that is going to be very, very difficult. They already have moved a number of guards, you know, those who guard on these ISIS people, to the border to protect themselves against Turkish forces. ISIS is there just waiting for an opportunity to rise up again, possibly under a different name, under a different banner. But ISIS is there. Those who think that ISIS has been permanently defeated are fooling themselves.
I have read interesting commentary that also suggests, though, that the Turks are hemmed in here. If they advance too far in, they could find themselves very exposed, because the one thing the Kurdish people do know how to do is to fight. So, the idea that there's another Srebrenica on our hands, that may not be so. I mean, it could well be that the Turks have got to be very careful themselves.
Well, yes, they've got to be. But Kurds do have this reputation, mythical reputation of being good fighters. But these days, Geraldine, if you do not have the right weapons, it doesn't matter how good a fighter you are. YPG, YPJ, YPJ is women's, all women units, and YPG are men, male units. They are only lightly armed. They cannot, you know, every piece of ammunition, whether bullet they waste, they cannot get replacement for it. Whereas the Turkish army over the years, Turkish armed forces, I should say, over the years, have been armed to the teeth by NATO with very advanced, very sophisticated, very destructive weapons. So it's going to be a very, very difficult fight.
Now, certainly the Kurdish fighters carried the load with support from the US. Peter Dutton, Minister Peter Dutton, was asked about this on Channel 9 this morning. If we can listen now, please.
The SDF, the Syrian Democratic Forces, have provided stability, they've provided support, and the Kurds, of course, have been a stabilising force for us, and we've worked very closely with them.
They've lost many lives joining the fight against ISIS.
I always feel on these debates that the Americans are either condemned for having troops there or they're condemned for not having troops there. And in some cases, they can't win.
I noticed that Chuck Schumer today in America asked the President Trump to reverse his decision and to put back those 1,000 special forces operatives into Kurdistan. Is that what you'd like to see happen?
Absolutely, yes, yes. Donald Trump has single-handedly betrayed these people who made huge sacrifices. 11,000 of those troops are dead. Over 20,000 are so seriously wounded, Geraldine, that they will never ever be the major breadwinners in their families. These are the sacrifices that we are talking about. And Donald Trump went ahead over a phone call with President of Turkey, betrayed them and ordered troop withdrawal. Not only that, he basically told President of Turkey to go ahead and occupy northern Syria. So although the Kurds are terribly disappointed in Donald Trump, they are very, very grateful to the American people and many, many members of the American Congress, both houses, the Senate and the House of Representatives.
Look, thank you very much indeed for your time today.
I thank you for the opportunity.
Aziz Bowermund, President of Kurdish Lobby Australia.